Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we'll be right back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and today's topic. Everybody in the nation is talking about it.
What happened to those young people in Chicago? They were running wild. Well, that was a wake-up call for us as parents to realize there are things that we are not doing correctly. And there are things that our society has absolutely not done correctly. We can fix this problem, but we've got to fix the problem. And the problem is not our children. We'll talk about it as we prepare to introduce the first class to be presented on the New Earth Homeschool Academy. And that course is called Parenting with Peace. We'll be right back with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back, and I believe we are joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. Assalamu alaikum. And, of course, as always, we appreciate you who join us live on Facebook and YouTube. We are, as always, looking forward to your participation in this discussion. This is interactive radio. This is a chance for our audience to contribute ideas as we present solutions to the issues of our day. Well, if you've watched the news, even if you're not a resident of Chicago, you know that a riot occurred in the South Loop area a few days ago, right after the announcement that Chicago was going to be the site for the 2024 Democratic Convention. And the question was raised, well, how is the new mayor going to keep us safe? Well, it's interesting that such an occurrence happened on the heels of that announcement, which has all the news media all abuzz. What do we do about our wayward youth, and how do we keep ourselves safe from children who have no respect for adults or respect for authority or respect for property or respect for themselves?
And everybody's attacking the young people because that's the easy thing to do when they reflect to you who you are and the image and the reflection is an ugly one. Well, when someone holds a mirror up to you, they're not calling you ugly. They're just letting you see it for yourself. So we don't want to just simply attack parents like so many have done. What's wrong with these parents? They're bad parenting. These children, these young people, they are a reflection of the society that we have created, and we are refusing to change the things that cause the behavior that we saw. And no, the answer isn't that all of them just needed to have a good beating when they were children and they would know how to behave. There is a better way, and we are talking about that today because very soon we'll be launching our class on the New Earth Homeschool Academy online, available to everybody, and called Parenting with Peace. So we want to talk about some of the elements of that teaching, which perhaps may change some long-held beliefs that we have seen don't work. And I want to welcome our co-host this morning, Kareem Hamid. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa Ramadan Mubarak. May peace be unto you. May we all have a blessed Ramadan. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. And I'm looking forward to a very informative broadcast this morning. Praise be to Allah. I wasn't aware of a riot that had took place in Chicago. Am I correct? Am I hearing you correctly?
Yes, that is pretty much what happened, and everybody is wondering how it happened. Suddenly, 1,000 youth converged on the South Loop area, downtown Chicago, and just began chaotic behavior, and everyone is wondering how this very seemingly organized decision to create mayhem could have happened. So we want to talk about that as well as what we should learn from that, because all things happen to teach us something. And what we need to learn about our children and ourselves and even the tactics that will be used for the sake of making a point and gaining political control. What we're seeing is our own ethical values reflected in the children that we have raised. And it's coming back to bite us in a way that cannot be ignored. But before we go into what happened, I do want to perhaps read some of the accounts for those who may not have heard, who are outside of the city. And, you know, the things that we see young people do, we like to act as if it happens in a vacuum, and we can't figure out, well, why are they doing this? Where did they learn that from? And what should we be doing to control their behavior? And what kind of punishment, what kind of consequences should we inflict? And we're always thinking of a reaction to something that has happened, instead of a proaction that would change the conditions that caused it to happen. So that's why it keeps happening. And we invite our listeners and viewers to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to add your voice to this conversation. We definitely want input, because we've had the internet, the radio and TV shows, all the talk shows have just been all ablaze with people's opinions about what should be done, everything from round them all up and throw them in jail to let's get some more police out on these streets to let's fine and jail the parents. So many people are now full of fear and don't know what to do. So now this, just briefly, Chicago police said they arrested 21 young people Saturday night when large crowds of teens filled the Loop. Four people, including two police officers, were injured during a fight near Millennium Park. One officer was left with a broken arm. Crowds turned rowdy and spilled into other parts of the downtown areas. So now this is one of the things, and it says on Saturday, hundreds and possibly thousands of teenagers massed in the Chicago Loop around 9 p.m. after social media posts calls for a meetup near Millennium Park. And this is one of the things that people are saying. It was organized through social media. There was a word that went out. We were going to have a big meetup at Millennium Park, which is, you know, one of the well-crafted tourist spots in the Loop area, the downtown area of Chicago. And I'll read again a little more details. It said a massive mob of rowdy teenagers clashed with cops near downtown Chicago's Millennium Park on Saturday night, leaving two teens wounded and at least one bystander beaten. The unruly mob erupted in violence, trashing property, smashing windshields, and torching cars while attacking at least one motorist, forcing cops to escort tourists to safety, WFLD-TV News reported Sunday. Chicago police said two teens, 16 and 17 years old, were wounded by a gunman in the crowd, the outlet reported. The violence came a day after a 14-year-old boy was shot during another outburst of teen violence at 31st Avenue Beach. Police reported one arrest in that incident. And it says, last night, CPD monitored activity happening across the city, and officers were in place to quickly respond to active incidences and large gatherings, police said in a statement. We will continue to have sufficient resources in place as we work to strengthen safety in every neighborhood. Many youngsters tried to get into the park but were turned away at checkpoints that barred anyone under 21 who wasn't accompanied by an adult, the outlets reported. It's heartbreaking, one witness told the station. Kids fighting, chasing each other. Some of them got guns. It's really heartbreaking when one of them actually gets hurt, and that's unfortunate. Okay, so that's the story that's going around, you know, people not knowing what triggered this sudden mayhem. And I've got a very distinct theory on that. We'll talk about that later. But what horrified so many adults was that social media, the means whereby people can communicate on a massive scale through their cell phones. Social media is being used to organize crowds of people that turn destructive. And you have so many older adults who barely know how to even operate their cell phone, much less use the social media platforms to organize. And when it's something that's used to organize for destruction, then many adults feel panic because they don't know how these young people are talking to each other through their cell phones. They, you know, Instagram, Twitter, you know, and can instantly gather in a place. And because no one hears conversation about it, it's all through the cell phone, older people are baffled as to how they can combat this kind of organized display of destructiveness. And so many things have been suggested to prevent this kind of thing in the future. And again, we just heard the announcement that Chicago's going to be the site of the 2024 Democratic Convention. Chicago just had an election between two candidates, an African-American and a Caucasian. And the two men had two different viewpoints on the involvement of police in our communities. The Caucasian, who I believe has been on our show last time he ran for mayor, he was on one of our other shows recently as well. He has been for a wider police presence in the neighborhood and perhaps more of a law and order type of stance. He was backed by the Fraternal Order of Police. And those who fear young people, particularly young black people, were in support of his candidacy. But he didn't win. The man who won was the African-American candidate, who was a bit younger, a few decades younger, and had a different perspective. His feeling was that we need to address the causes of crime, and we need to address the mental health crisis that's often, too often met with a police presence in a way that's highly inappropriate. And he was even overly quoted over and over again when at one point he said that defunding the police was a political strategy. And his statement was probably taken out of context for the purpose of creating alarm in many older people who have fears of what will happen if we don't have more police enforcement of order. And so is the atmosphere in which this riotous behavior suddenly erupted. And so now it's forcing a response. So I want to take a look at that first, and I really want you all to call in and talk about this, because we need to be a little wiser than we've been when we're being played and manipulated, and we're being set up to agree to our own repression. We need to be wiser and make better choices so that we don't fall into the trap. But Kareem, after having given you that background information, of course, open the floor for your comments and observations, and then we'll take a look at what I believe is the underlying reason for this outbreak.
Yes. This is not the first time that the social media has been used to call upon a mass gathering. The social media is under the radar of the main media. And we know most of us are on social media platforms, especially our youth. And someone can call for what they call wilding. Everyone meet at a certain for wilding. Wilding is for disruptive action, destruction of property, assaulting other human beings. But my concern is what was the demonstration or the riot, what was it for or what was it against? What was it for and what was it against? Was this gang warfare? Did gangs meet there and start fighting one another? Or was the a purpose to assemble there and just wreak havoc? Just wreak havoc, just for the purpose of wreaking havoc. We have left a lot of our social norms behind, us adults. Let me say that. The adults have left a lot of social norms that somewhat organize the society in which we live. We have left a lot of social norms behind. And our children, they mimic us. They get their cues from the environment in which they are raised in, you know. Anytime there are standards that have provided for a beneficial life, you know, the idea, and let me name a few. This anti-marriage, that is a standard. When you are against anti-marriage, then you are against anti-family. And family is the first social unit. So our children see that. They see that. Where is daddy? Where is mama? You know? And you can believe that has a very bad effect on them. And they are somewhat feel abandoned, praise be to Allah, abandoned, because the social norms are not in place anymore. The adults have stepped away from the forms of behavior that signify civilization, civilized behavior. So I'm only surmising, you know, and I'm not sure what the purpose was, but in order to get a group of people to meet in one place and begin destruction of property and assaulting human beings, that is an anger, praise be to Allah, that is an anger. That is a disappointment and an anger coming from our young people. Foundations are we maintaining as adults? What foundations are we maintaining as an instruction for them? You know, as instruction for them. When you step away from the family unit, when you step away from marriage, when you abandon those principles that secure civilized behavior, well, our children, they are reared in that environment. And a lot of times they feel anger, they feel abandoned, they feel as if they are on their own, and based upon their juvenile judgment, they take on the position of lashing out. At who? Anybody. At what? Anything. So this idea of wilding and disruptive behavior, we have to look at ourselves. How have we contributed? There's a cause and effect. We are witnessing and experiencing the effect of having left norms that have sustained civilized, that have sustained civilization over centuries. So what are we doing? Are we, when you step away from, how can I put it, principles, praise be to Allah, principles that establishes human life, well, there is an offfall from that. Our children are raised in that environment. It seems like the rules doesn't matter anymore. the rules doesn't matter anymore. We see the adults breaking the rules. And they feel alone. So when a call comes out, let's just wild, let's just tear something up. That may be the response to what I've just described. I'm not sure. I'm not in Chicago, and this is my first time hearing of the riot that took place in the Loop. But for people that don't know one another, just a call over social media, a call for wilding, a call for rioting, for tearing up something, we have left. We have left standards that maintain civilized behavior, how we behave toward one another, how we refer to one another, how we identify each other. They look at that and say, well, what the heck? You know, that may be the response is, what the heck? What do we have to lose? If we can't construct it, let's just tear it down or whatever. So we have to look to ourselves, the adults. What have we displayed before our children? Have we prepared solid foundations under them? Or have we stepped away from solid foundations that solidify and give a relationship to each other and to the communities in which we live? So I'm questioning the behavior of adults, and as a consequence, this is the effect of those youth that are born in an environment where all the social norms are breaking down or have broke down. And there's a system of government called anarchy, where there is no government. Do whatever you feel. There is no authority. You are your own authority. However you feel, you have a right to exhibit that. So how do we turn this around? We have to put a foundation under what we are responsible for. We are responsible for our children. We have too many single-parent households. We have too much poverty among us. My question is, what is the economic plan? I know we have a social plan, the party and following all of these celebrities, rap stars, and stuff like that. But what is the economic plan to shore up and strengthen our communities? They are left with no solid financial foundation. One guy, he was selling drugs, and the question was asked of him to put those drugs down, stop selling drugs. And he asked, well, what will replace that? How do I feed myself? Where does my next meal come from? So there are some things that we have neglected as adults. We have left social norms. We began wilding, just shacking up from female to female, leaving abandoned children in our wake. So let us question ourselves. This is only a response for the environment that has been created among adults. And it's not just African Americans either. I'm talking about youth across this country. So I'll stop right there. I'm only surmising, but there is a cause for everything, Naima. We have two callers on the line here when you want
Alrighty.
To call upon.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and take some callers. And we've got a comment here on Facebook, from Beata. She says, Grand Rising, Sister. Yes, she says, let's talk about the dysfunction in families and communities. And that is exactly what created this problem. So I agree, brother, most definitely. I agree that this is an outgrowth of the falling apart of the family. And the family fell apart for some very specific reasons as well. And when things fall apart, that means that whatever it was built on was not strong enough to hold it in place. So that means we have to rebuild. Just like the story of the three little pigs, you know, one built the house out of straw and other
straw.
I think, built his out of what, sticks, and then the other one built his in, out of brick, and that was the only one that lasted. It was the brick house. So if we've built a foundation, we've built a structure out of straw, and there was dysfunction throughout, and it didn't last. And so now we're seeing what happens when you don't have a structure. Well, we need to build one that's stronger and based on stronger principles that last, because we see what happens when we don't have a structure at all. So we'll come back and talk about that. Thank you, Viana. And for anybody who wants to join us on Facebook or YouTube, just simply go to Facebook and type in the Female Solution, or YouTube and type in the Female Solution, and you'll see my face. I've got a little picture of the riots there on the screen. And you'll hear the voice of our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And, of course, if you want to call in, call us at 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll gladly come to you and get your thoughts. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naeem Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naeema Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
And if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naeema.
We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes
as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, Black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're Three Black Moms.
Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family, broadcasting simultaneously with us. And we appreciate all of you who have joined us. If you're joining us live on Facebook or YouTube, feel free to write in your comments. Today we're talking about the recent right downtown with young people. Youth run wild in downtown Chicago. Well, we're introducing Parenting with Peace. It's a course, the first course to be introduced on our New Earth Homeschool Academy, our homeschool online, to empower ourselves, to teach ourselves the things we need to know so that we can become better people. But before we do that, we want to look at this incident as a wake-up call to change what we're doing, because what we've done has produced what we saw. And we've got some comments. We want to take a few callers before we share this next bit of information. So, Brother Kareem, you've got some callers on the line that would like to have a word about this.
Yes. Area code 347-751. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Please give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Take your phone off and mute. Okay. You're not responding, 347. Okay, let me
maybe they might have stepped
forward.
Away.
Yes. Okay, we have another caller on. I'm going to open up their line, 706-627. Welcome to the Female Citizen.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muhammad, from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. You covered so much good territory. So briefly, I would just say, first of all, we have to remember that what is missing is the teaching of Al-Islam here in the United States of America, the way that it was left to us and passed on to us by our leader, Imam Warfi Muhammad. He left it in a public arena to where the whole world has the freedom to listen to what Al-Islam is the solution to all the problems. Now, Chicago, I've been following it since it jumped off. Our children said a long time ago, I think we even said it when we was little, we are bored. I'm bored. They are bored with this life that this world of that we have came up in before the Quran has given us. Every day the same thing, whooping this or that, this, that. So many changes of negativity. Again, if we are lost, the parents are lost, like Allah says in the Quran, then we should understand that our children are lost and have been lost for a good, maybe almost going on 100 years, inshallah, Allah best knows. But then also that means that our faith in God that's inside of us and what we have been teaching each other outwardly for hundreds of years and the way Shaitan in this world ignores it has made them bored with this constant whooping, being mistreated, disregarded, treated like they're invisible. And like Imam said, yeah, it's our fault, the parents, because we have not accepted that we are lost also and have lost in the face of Allah and is looking for each other for the solution, failing to realize that Shaitan is puppeteering us. He is masterminding. We call them schemes. Our destiny and our direction and our faith that we have lost. But remember, our children have said they are bored. And we also have to understand that Allah has told us there's no other way out of this situation that we in except Al-Islam. Allah said on the day of reckoning, no other way will be accepted. So whatever way you come, French, American, democracy, whatever, it will be rejected. But since we have lost our faith, we have a hard time zeroing in on anything with all this wonderful knowledge out here that Allah has given us as we call guidance. So again, it goes back to your parents, like Brother Imam Muhammad was saying, what are we doing? Are we building the halal world, or are we still talking about this world and how we can live in this world, knowing that Allah has already commanded our children, come out of this world and establish what is right and forbid what is wrong. And they are bored that their parents, their grandparents for the last 50, 60, maybe 100 years, act like they don't hear what God is telling them. Though they teaching it, though they talking about it, though they claim they are working for it, but even as Ali, Imam Muhammad told us last week on that video, a CD on resources, Allah said, these people are not going to help us. Imam Muhammad said, they're not going to help us establish Al-Islam. That's against what they want. And our children, they want out of it. So that situation in Chicago is going to get worse because Shaitan is doing his job. He is intimidating the whole world into believing what he said was that maybe 40 years ago, that God is dead. And he know that we are make-believing and coming up with so many gods, so many things that we are looking for help for, guidance for, and have rejected that there's one God, except those who believe. Now, those of us who believe, we have to get this fear out of the atmosphere, not only in us, but out of the atmosphere of every human being on this earth, because Shaitan is not just intimidating the ones who are responsible for establishing a halal world, but he's intimidating everybody. He don't want nobody to wake up. Like we just got to say a few seconds ago, and when we wake up, we've been awake. But we have to believe that we're not dreaming. We have to realize have to get out of this being lost in believing that there's one God and Muhammad is his messenger. And work on that, like Imam said last week on the CD that we listened. We had to take what Allah has given us in the Quran. He put it in our heart. How deeper do we need to have the sensitivity to understand that what we are experiencing is real? So the kids are rebelling. They don't believe in us no more, but they love us. So they don't rebel against us, but they rebel against our neighbor or any parent. And they have joined together by the guidance of the Shaitan. The children have come together to rebel against the parents because they're not aware of Allah the way that they should have learned. They're not aware and have belief in the existence of Shaitan the way they should know. So Allah said, don't forget your open enemy. So we have many things to do, but just talking and not coming out of this reality like we're lost in it and don't have no solution. And come out of it and establish this halal world, this high reality, so our children can let their intellect grow more. Their intellect now is just growing toward them, but taking them to the hellfire. That's all they see. So they don't see no good in the world. They don't see no benefit in being right. Not in this world, because right in this world is wrong. So they're fighting against it out of boredom. They're fighting against all of this out of anger. And they fight most of all because they don't have no leadership. They have no one who is publicly every day saying that the one God, the Quran, the final revelation, and example of Prophet Muhammad is a solution for all people. Even down at the mayor's office, at the governor's office, at the city council. We're not out here in the public doing dawah, explaining that to nobody and give our children hope. They're ready to go. They got everything they need, and they see what we're talking about. Ever since they've been babies, those of us who believe, regardless of what your belief might be, because we've all been teaching everybody that help is on the way, that God would save us, God would come for us. But our job is Muslim. We can't ignore that. Our job is to establish this halal reality. Our job is to get out here and teach al-Islam every day, even though it's not popular, even though it doesn't put money in our pocket, you know, because we're not dependent upon Allah to sustain our financial situation, like Brother Hameen was talking about. If we had a community, the community would be paying for 360 and other good platforms to be to teach al-Islam, and only al-Islam out here, and it's the solution for all people, for murder, for homosexuality, for crime, stinginess, enviness. It's the solution for everything when we tell them about zakat, when we tell them the true meaning of prayer, when we tell them the meaning of fasting, we're staying, practicing restraint. Our children are rebelling because they are not being educated no more the way that they want it from us parents, from us grandparents. Yeah, I mean, appreciate that.
Well, you know, brother, I certainly appreciate, brother, I appreciate your passion on this. And I want us to reflect when we speak of teaching a spiritual teaching or a philosophy. What does that look like in terms of a way of life? We've got some callers on the switchboard here. I'll open the mic and get more comments. And again, of course, we want you to call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891 and press 1 so that we can get your thoughts. Let me go to area code 336-350, and, you know, we'll go back to the point that Brother made in a moment, but let me take another call here. 336-350, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, and give us your thoughts.
Grand Risings, Dr. Lateef, Grand Risings, and I want to say assalamu alaikum to all of the family, I feel like crying, family. That brother, that, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Sounds like our dear Mama AZ. Thank you so much
it
for
is.
Calling.
It is. I'm calling you from Miracle Valley, Arizona. Look it up. But the reason that I'm emotional is because one of my major mentors, she's Muslim, and I would like for you family to look up Sister Juanetta Lone, L-O-N-E, Wolf Cox. I had the bounty of meeting her in Greensboro, North Carolina at A&T in 1986, and another sister who is also Muslim. She got me from the hospital and took me to A&T to meet Sister Juanetta. And when you look at her life, she was a motivational speaker. Today happens to be her Earth Day. And I was talking to her earlier. I give thanks to that sister for being one of my mentors, because Brother Kareem and the other brother, do not take this out of context, but this is Mama Bonfire AZ Paris telling you, I believe with all of my heart, my dear brothers, that Sister Juanetta Lone Wolf Cox was channeling through you, because especially you, Brother Kareem, I was like, what the heck? She was just talking about some of this on her video, and and I heard stuff she was communicating to the family by way of Brother Kareem and the other brother. That's deep. You ought to look at her life. It she has a video on YouTube, family, and it's called I Want to Live, Sister Juanetta Lone Wolf Cox. It's important. Today is a special day. The moon is coming up. These are energies, and those babies are feeling it. Even though what happened there in Chicago is a major, major confirmation. People, you got to pay attention to Chicago, because Chicago has a special, special metaphysical energy, and it's a doorway that has been opened up big time. Look at what's happening not only in Chicago, but other places, family. And you take the number down. When these occurrences happen, it's always a representation of a time, a number. It's a ritual. Chicago is no joke. And what happened there is a warning to pay attention, family. And just like these dear brothers said, we have forgotten, we have kicked morals to the curb. And I'm being nice. So I know it's other callers. Dr. Lateef, thank us, and thank you, Sister Juanetta Lone Wolf Cox. Happy Earth Day. You're with these brothers. Thank you. Thank us. All right. Peace.
Thank us, the universal spirit. Yes, we thank you, Mama AZ, as always. Yes, we have one more call that we can take before we take a break. Area code 813-646 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts about this topic.
Grand Rising, it's LA in Central Florida. Just quickly, I don't think social media, it depends on how you define social media. I mean, Jesus, he didn't have a smartphone. He had 5,000 people around him at times. And Black Wall Street, they didn't have smartphones and computers and all that for that to happen. So it's whatever the social media, you know, word of mouth of the day is. But Chicago in particular, Chicago's got a whole bunch of people. I mean, about 3% of the entire population of the United States lives in that Chicago metro area. That's a whole lot of people crammed into a small amount of space. So that, in my opinion, that doesn't help. And then I think too many people rely on the government to educate their children and some other things. I think that's another part of the problem. And then when it comes to young folks, well, matter of fact, any kind of folks, a starter home in Chicago costs on average $204,000. And the typical, I don't know the average age of those teens out there last year, but the typical 18-year, the typical 30-year-old doesn't have $200,000 laying around liquid, to get into a starter home. And in Chicago, about 69%, On average, the average person that what needs about 69% of their paycheck just to live. So when you take some, and they got teens of different backgrounds that were involved with this, but teens or no teens, essentially, if you're not wealthy, you can get really frustrated, and you, particularly if you don't know what to do. So I'm about your financial situation, social situation. So I'm glad you got this online school going. Because maybe people can get educated on how they can actually sustain themselves in a city like Chicago, or go somewhere else and do it. So those are my comments.
Thank you. Well,
Naima, you mentioned that
myths called the three little pigs. One made his house out of straw. The wolf blew it down. One made his house out of wood and sticks. The wolf blew it down. But the one that built his home in brick, the wolf couldn't blow it down. Now, there is an old ancient scheme been around for a long time. Pharaoh, in relationship to the oppressed people, he said, we shall have them make bricks without straw. Make bricks without straw.
Mm-hmm.
Bricks are made from clay or either mud.
Right.
We are referred to as clay in our beginning. The human being is personified as clay.
Formed from clay,
and
right.
Clay, yes. But clay is very impressionable. You can mold it into whatever shape you want.
Yeah.
Now, in order to make brick, a brick is made from mud or clay, but it needs a bonding substance to hold its form.
Yeah.
Bricks are synonymous with building something. So have them make brick without straw. Remove the bonding substance. Remove the straw. Remove those principles that bond and hold people together. Remove
mm-hmm.
those principles and charge them with building their community. And this is not just aimed at, this is aimed at the human being.
Absolutely.
This is aimed at the human being. So when you remove that bonding substance, that straw, the sacredness of marriage, of husband and wife that provides security, then this is what we see. You can't build the community without our bonding principles, without the straw. We can't have a healthy life with just men and women just living among each other and not bonding for the future of our children. So this is an old scheme. Have them make bricks without straw, without that substance that holds the community together. This is what we have seen has took place, and this is the aftermath of that. None of us sat down and thought of these things. This is something that has influenced us, influenced the community. Satan is an influencer. He's not making us do anything. He's only influencing our thinking and our behavior. Our thinking and our behavior. That rugged individualism. Don't trust the male. Don't trust women. That there's a silent war going on between the male and female. We see that. We know that taking place. And look at the aftermath of it. Our children are left without a foundation. So
that's right.
We say rely on God. God is not going to come and straighten us out. We ourselves have to follow. We have to follow his instructions to us. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to repair ourselves, and we can do it. But we have to admit that we've made some mistakes along the way.
That's
and
the key.
Step away from the messages of this world. Of this world and cling to the word of Almighty God and establish sound family life, sound marriages, how can I put it? Money has its place. It has its place. But I love my sister, not because of money. I love her because she is my sister. That is my blood relationship.
Should be. That's how it should be.
It has to be like that. We have to put the straw back in the brick, that which will hold the form, so we can build the We speak of Black Wall Street. The majority of those people had a bonding with each other.
Yes.
Most of them was husbands and wives. Was husbands and wives. They had family. And we have abandoned the principles that hold families together. We have left the sacred bond of marriage. And now we are upset with the consequences of that. What can we do to correct them? They are wrong. They this. Those children this. No, they didn't set this in motion. They are the effect.
They did not. They are the effect. We are the cause. They are the effect.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes.
So
we have
we got to take another break, and we're going to take another caller after the break. And then we're going to share some information with you after the caller. But that's a very powerful analogy, the bricks, because the bonding element that holds it together that's missing is the love. Love is
the
bond that holds it all together, and that's what is missing. But what does love look like, and what does it feel like, and what does it do, and what does it create? We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about how to rebuild the family, the community, the society with love. What things will we must change in order for this brick house to stand? We'll be right back after this quick break, and we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. Call us 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and call in 515-605-9891 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We're talking about the youth that run wild in downtown Chicago. What do we do? Well, we're introducing parenting with peace, and we're going to talk about the principles of that after these messages. So come on back and be a part of the solution.
And if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repairs, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy it. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jodi Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Shereen Hamid. Thursdays, Solver Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Diaka. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Donna. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire and Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Further Healing with Diaka. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And let us...
Unmuted.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection. And we are back. You are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts as we talk about youth that ran wild in downtown Chicago. And we're introducing Parenting with Peace, a 12-part course offered on our New Earth Homeschool Academy, launching soon to change the way we raise our children so that they will be prepared to create a world where people can live in peace. And that means creating the right foundation within them, correcting the mistakes that we have made, and building different kinds of structures in our society. Right now, we have a society that is mean-spirited and cruel and insensitive and hurtful and violent. And so our children have mirrored to us what we have put inside them. And it's not pleasant to experience, but we needed to experience it so that we can understand that the next house we build must have the right kind of bricks, the kind that have that bonding element that holds them together, the love that is the bond between all beings. And when we build with that, we'll have structures that will not fall apart. So I believe we're back with our American Muslim 360 family, and we've got some callers on the line. And if you're on our switchboard on the Female Solution and would like to speak, feel free to press 1. And if you're watching up and you are on Facebook or YouTube and have a thought, feel free to write in your comments and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. Before I share this dialogue from Conversations with God, I want to make sure we get our next callers in to get your thoughts. Brother Green, you said we have another caller on your switchboard?
Yes, I have two here waiting
Great.
In the wings.
All right. Go right ahead.
Open up their mic?
Yes, you can go ahead and open their mic. I won't keep them waiting.
Okay. Erico 727-408. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Assalamu alaikum, and that's a Ramadan and peace to everybody. Alhamdulillah. We thank God for people who those who feel themselves accountable to God and living right and doing the best you can, give yourself some more knowledge. Take out some time and get more knowledge. See, moral is going to take a just so far. Our intellect has to be stimulated. Then we sit down with each other and we build a strategy. This program here and what's going on in Chicago is a strategy. Be thankful to the mind that gave us that strategy. So I'm going to give us something right now. Save yourself. Save your family. And take care of that business and watch yourself grow and prosper. You'll get ahead. You'll get things done. Interfaith, race reconciliation will really take us somewhere. And I pray that we go ahead on. I pray and work towards us getting that place. Get many in interfaith, get many in race reconciliation, and you'll see some great power that good people have and want to take care of business. And I got that for me, man, Walter D. Muhammad. That's my leader. Whoever your leader is, call, let's get this done. And pray, and believe me, it'll work. You have to believe that. Let me tell you, faith is something that you have to deserve. Those who don't deserve faith don't get it. So let's look at the traditions in our society that are already working. And let's deal with them traditions and keep on pushing. So we thank God for this format right here, and we thank God for good people coming together and getting something done. Try it, and it'll work. Assalamu alaikum, and peace to everybody. And Ramadan Mubarak, alhamdulillah. Thank y'all very much for this program.
Thank you so much, brother. Ramadan Mubarak. Yes. Yes, and we've got a few more days in this period of fasting, which is intended to be a cleansing of the spirit and a renewal of our commitment to a way of life. I want to just briefly say before we bring in that next caller, and he mentioned some things about what we should recognize in this situation. The influence. What influenced this behavior? Well, when we are unconscious, yeah, we can be influenced by people who don't have our best interest at heart. When I saw the timing of this and realizing that we are not too many decades out of the pro and tell co, the COINTELPRO strategy of the government to disrupt the progress, to disrupt our family structure, to weaken us by pitting husbands against wives, by paying women to not have men in their homes, to weaken our education system by taking all of the skills and the opportunities to develop oneself and do as was mentioned, as LA mentioned, being able to even prepare to live in a home. When the things were taken away from us to destabilize us, and it was done deliberately. The way our organizations were destabilized were people who were infused in those organizations to provoke disruptive behavior. And basically they were using people's own weaknesses, their jealousies of each other, their enviousness of each other, their desires for power over each other, their use of sexuality and the corruption over money. So
So they imploded from within, and it looked like, oh, well, those people, they can't look at them. They're killing each other. They're assassinating each other. They're destroying their own communities. And it looked like it was self-inflicted, but it was, in fact, an influence from outside for the purpose of destabilizing, for the purpose of creating that segment of society that could then continue to be the labor force, the free labor force that is, in fact, legal once you throw people in jail. So here we have now, again, young people acting out, and the response is going to be, and has been, we need to throw them in jail. And they unwittingly participated in their own demise. When I saw that, I said, this has grown people with a political agenda, organizing chaos on purpose, written all over it, for me. Because I know that the people who stand to benefit from this outburst are the people who wanted the agenda of over-policing of our communities in the first place. So what better way to create that would be to have an incident that shocked and angered people and made them fear the young people who then are going to be clamped down on, and there will be no outcry because people have already been conditioned to think of them as the enemy. So I am quite sure that there are paid agent provocateurs among the youth who, again, using that medium of social media, create the thought to gather and then create mayhem. And who will benefit from that action? Those people who intend to instill repressive measures, excessive arrests, jailings, restrictions on young people. And how does that further destabilize our families? Well, we already know what happened as a result of all of these broken families, young people who should have been at the prime of their lives creating families, instead battling a criminal justice system. So we're reproducing the very thing that destroyed us unknowingly and doing it unthinkingly, unconsciously, because we can be influenced by people who intend for our demise. And only the unconscious are able to be influenced, just as when we saw our organizations disrupted. Only the unconscious fell to the briberies, the seduction, the desires to set up their leaders for assassination or to commit acts of murder or to commit acts of violence or acts of theft. Only the unconscious are susceptible to corruption. And this is what I saw happen to our youth. They played into the hands of those who wanted to use them as tools to then justify what's about to happen to our communities under the guise of law and order. We did it to ourselves in our own ignorance. And so it's time for us to learn better. So, Brother Green, you want to open the mic of the caller? Oh, yes. Go right ahead.
Yes, we are. Yes, ma'am. We are coming to the end of a sacred month called Ramadan. In that functionality of that, we are to abstain from food, drink, sex with our wives during the daylight hours. And its purpose is to please Almighty God. But in that pleasing of Almighty God, we benefit also. We learn discipline, a control of self, a control of self. The oppressors of human beings they assault the human being at his appetite, at his appetites. If you have uncontrolled appetites without knowledge, then you can be easily manipulated. And let me say this once more. This is not, yes, we as an ethnic group, we are experiencing these outbreaks. But this is not aimed at just the African-American community. This enemy here is against all human beings. If you think that is just happening among us, just look at the Maury Popovich show. I'm not the father. You see? Right. So I don't want to exclude other human beings. We're all under assault. We're all under assault. So this we see a multi-ethnic problem. Just look at that program, I'm Not the Father of, what I can't think of it now, Maury.
It's Maury. Yeah, it's the people. Maury show. Yeah,
right.
You have all these.
It's
these
people.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Watching people's confusion
yeah.
being entertainment. Well, you know, that's
yeah.
another whole issue in itself. We have the worst of human behavior used as entertainment. And we sit our children in front of the screen so they can absorb all of the worst of human behavior, and we call it entertainment. And we wonder why it has created an inner attainment of those principles in our children. Because we programmed with that because that's what we gave them to watch. Why are we surprised that they're expressing it? Why are we surprised?
Right. Right. You know what hit me is when it's proven that the man is a father. He gets up and runs off the stage. You know?
Well, sometimes he's happy and sometimes he's distressed, you know, depending on the circumstances.
Yes.
And then the woman, sometimes she's devastated. If she has accused him of being a father and he's not, well, then she gets up and runs off the stage. And now she's humiliated because that means, oh, okay, you don't know who the father is. And that's entertainment that we watch and provide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
we have
seeing.
To get back to standards. You know, in the arena of religious life, it's not just the Muslim that encourages marriages. It's not just the Christian. It's not just the Jews. You find that a principle flowing through all of religious life. As Muslims, we are dealing with the same social ills as everyone else. As
Absolutely.
Everyone else.
It, like you just said, it's a human issue.
Yeah. It's a human issue. It's a human issue. The reluctance of men to marry. That's not just a Christian issue. That's not just a Jewish issue. That's a human issue. This enemy is the enemy of all human beings. So I don't want to couch this in just an ethnic color. No, this is a human problem. And
well,
we
one
have
thing
to have
I'd
a
like
broad
to...
perspective. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one thing I'd like to address with that, love doesn't hurt. And if something hurts, it's not love. So if people are avoiding something, what has made it painful that they avoid it? And like you mentioned in the beginning, these young people are growing up in families where there is pain. There's pain of brokenness. There's pain of neglect. There's pain of abuse. Love does not hurt. So when you have a loving bond, it stays together. And it produces love. But when you have a bond in the midst of anger and resentment and vengeance and meanness. That's not love. So you look at what causes our relationships to break apart, and then what does the society do to further exacerbate the pain? Look at our divorce procedures, where someone is devastated, humiliated, impoverished, rendered homeless, if they're the ones that get put out the house and don't get access to the assets of the union. And children see this. They see that this is what marriage looks like, where someone ends up hurt and broken, and they don't want that. And we're not showing them a loving union, and we're showing them vengeance if a partner in the union does something that another partner does not like. We're seeing mistreatment in the home. We're seeing cruelty in the home. So what loving example do they have to coalesce around, to bond them to, when the people in the home do not have the capacity to demonstrate it because perhaps it was not shown to them? And then we have a society that's constantly showing us on our television screens the worst of human behavior. Very shortly, we're launching a new television network, and we're gathering those programs that are of the higher consciousness to show a better life, to actually program the viewers with higher consciousness, with loving, pleasant programs that lift you up and give you a vision of what the world can be when it is based on love and not fear, not violence, not hate, not vengeance. You can't eat garbage and expect to have a healthy body. And we feed ourselves garbage and all of the media. So in the launching of this TV network, on air, TV network, we've gathered programs from people who have as their goal to raise human consciousness so that our world will reflect a way of life that truly is an expression of God. So we got to take our last break. And, Kareem, we come back, we're going to play just a bit of Conversations with God by the author Neil Donald Walsh. And he explains how these conversations came about and a little bit about what we have been taught to believe that is harmful, that's hurting us, that we can unlearn so that we can teach principles that will actually create the new society that is reflection truly of God's way, which is only love. So we'll be right back from this last break, and we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. If you got comments to make, call in 515-605-9891 or 515-605-9325 and press 1. And if you've got some comments, and we'll share some comments from our Facebook family when we come back from this quick break. So we invite you to simply stay with us.
Also, Naima, I have two people have raised their hands here on the M360 board.
All right. Well, we will certainly get to you. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
The Female Solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515 605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And let's share a few comments from our Facebook and YouTube viewers. And of course, you can join us on the Female Solution Facebook page by just going to Facebook and going to The Female Solution. Or you can join us on YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in The Female Solution. And here are a few comments from our viewers. And Deborah says, Grand Rising, wake up, people. Stop allowing people to put you in a place you don't need or want to be. That is right. Yes. Wake up and smell the coffee, people. Everything we do is from our own choices, and there's nobody to blame. We are responsible for every decision we make. And Viata says, yes, growing up with pain and dysfunction on the home is nothing new. Social media is more influential to our youth on how to deal with it. Teeth school much needed for parents and students. Absolutely. Yes, we've been having dysfunctional families for centuries, right? And we've been passing on the dysfunction for centuries. So now that we have a communications system that is instantaneous, unmuted, it doesn't take as long for things to manifest. And matter of fact, things manifest quicker because our communication to each other is instantaneous. So we get instant feedback from things that happen. But what is it that we have been thinking and teaching and doing that is so harmful that now it explodes beyond our capacity to contain it and control it and reverse it? That's what people are fearing. Can we reverse this? How do we control a situation when you have young people that carry guns, shoot guns, buy ammunition? Well, let's be real. Young people are not running gun manufacturing plants. They don't manufacture bullets. So whatever is given to young people came from dysfunctional adults, corrupted adults, adults with an agenda to use and misuse the pain of people to cause them to self-destruct. But we have the power to fortify the next generation with wisdom so they can create a different world than what they experienced, and that what destroyed them, we can help them create a world based on love. So I know we've got some callers. I want to just share about 6 minutes of book four in a series called Conversations with God. And we've talked about this book and this author, and at some point perhaps we will have an opportunity to have this author on the show. And if you have not heard of him, Neil Donald Walsh, definitely a best-selling author with a book series entitled Conversations with God. And the way his story goes is pretty much in a moment of distress, he called out to God, why can't I make my life work? Give me some answers. And he began to hear answers coming to him. He picked up a pad and just started writing what he heard. And it evolved into an entire book series called Conversations with God. And we all have conversations with God. God speaks to every last one of us. But the question is, are we listening? And there are those who hear what they're told and prosper and benefit. And then there are those who cannot hear the voice and do not benefit. But all of us have conversations with God. These just happen to be put in a book and shared. And what I'm about to play now is the audio from book four called Awaken the Species. And basically, in these few minutes, and you can go to YouTube and just type in Conversations with God, book four, Awaken the Species, and listen to the instructions. And we'll talk about words coming from the creator of the universe who speaks to us all. First, Neil Donald Walsh is going to explain a bit about this conversation, and then we'll hear the words. And because the creator is neither male nor female, he alternates between a male voice and a female voice so that we understand that the energy of creation does not have a gender. And therefore, we can not humanize the creative force of the universe. So just about 6 minutes of this dialogue presented by Neil Donald Walsh, entitled Conversations with God, Book 4, Awaken the Species.
From God to humans, as having occurred throughout history, I perfectly well understand if some people feel that such a blessed event would presumably not occur in the life of an utterly imperfect and fault-ridden person such as myself. I've always said, however, that it's not me in the singular who has conversations with God, but all of us in the plural all the time. Most people are simply calling it something else. All of us have the ability to access the highest wisdom within us, which we are invited to consider to be God working in and through us. The dialogue itself puts this succinctly in the voice of the divine. I talk to everyone all the time. The question is not, to whom do I talk? The question is, who listens? I therefore invite you to set aside whatever natural skepticism may arise regarding the source of the material found here, and to focus instead on whether or not what has been offered in this process has any value in the living of your individual life, and more broadly, in the understanding of life itself. The text contains much information about life and death, and the time in between. is filled with probably more metaphysical data than you may have been exposed to in one place in a very long time.
Okay, hold on a moment. I'm being told that the audio is not coming through to the people who are watching, so I'm going to have to do it differently. So, hold just one moment here. I want to make sure that our listeners and viewers are able to hear. Because apparently if I am playing it on one device, then the other does not record. So here we go. Let's start again. And see if we can...
Notwithstanding the fact that all of the world's major religions speak of divine revelation from God to humans as having occurred throughout history, I perfectly well understand that some people feel that such a blessed event would presumably not occur in the life of an utterly imperfect and fault-ridden person, such as myself. I've always said, however, that it's not me, in the singular, who has conversations with God, but all of us, in the plural, all the time. Most people are simply calling it something else. All of us have the ability to access the highest wisdom within us, which we are invited to consider to be God working in and through us. The dialogue itself puts this succinctly in the voice of the divine. I talk to everyone all the time. The question is not, to whom do I talk? The question is, who listens? I therefore invite you to set aside whatever natural skepticism may arise regarding the source of the material found here, and to focus instead on whether or not what has been offered in this process has any value in the living of your individual life and, more broadly, in the understanding of life itself. The text contains much information about life and death and the time in between. It's filled with probably more metaphysical data than you may have been exposed to in one place in a very long time. At one point in the dialogue that follows, you may find yourself saying, speculation or not, this is utterly fascinating, yet then fairly be asking, what good is knowing all of this? What does it have to do with my life and the improving of it, much less the improving of the lives of all of us on Earth? You'll see here that I ask question after question in my effort to render this dialogue meaningful and relevant. What I know is that today, with everything that's going on in the world, people are yearning and searching for a message of hope, faith, healing, and change. I found that this latest conversation with God offered me that, and this is why I let myself publicly share it. The exchange here contains a few tough assessments of where we are today. Yet these are offered not as judgments, but as flashlights, illuminating what we are now being invited to see and empowered to do. I know it sounds trite, but a better tomorrow for us as individuals and for our civilization is possible, very, very possible, if we will choose it. As the dialogue here makes clear, we are but one decision away. I hope you'll decide to make that decision after hearing what follows. Introduction. I awoke from a sound sleep on August 2nd, 2016. It was the urge that awakened me. I knew it well. I hadn't felt it in nearly 10 years, but I knew it well. I had no idea what time it was, but I thought to myself, if it's 4:23, will I need more of a sign than that? I glanced at the clock on my bedside table. 4:13 a.m. Of course. Just enough time to pull myself out of bed for my 4:23 appointment. The first dialogue I ever had with God began at 4:23 in the morning, and every morning for weeks I would be awakened between 4:15 and 4:30 by a deep inward urge, get back to the dialogue. This pattern continued for months, and subsequently for years. I wondered if there was any significance to the timing of it, but ultimately I released any need to know. When the first Conversations with God material, scribbled on yellow legal pads, actually became a published book,
I was told of the dialogue that it would, by the way, so I sent it to a publisher out of Dare. I thought that maybe something important had taken place here. And when over a million people obtained the book, and I saw it being translated into 37 languages, I was shocked into certainty about that. Then it came to pass that requests for me to speak outside the United States began arriving, and I had to find my birth certificate in order to apply for a passport. Well, it was nowhere to be found among my personal papers, of course, so I applied to the records department of the government where I was born, paying the fee and asking to be sent an official copy. I was stunned when I opened the envelope and examined the document. Time of birth? 4:23 a.m. Of course. The fact that this experience of divine connection always seemed to be initiated near the same time every day that I came into the world somehow seemed meaningful to me. At the very least, I could not ignore the perfect symmetry of it. Through the years, then, whenever I found myself suddenly wide awake between 4:15 and 4:30 in the morning, eyes staring at the ceiling, a certain energy coursing through my body, I knew what was going on. I got up immediately, raced to my laptop, and opened myself to whatever wanted to come through. And so it was on this day, August 2nd, 2016. I've just thrown back the covers and pulled myself out of bed. Now, here I am. The only thing is, I didn't think I'd ever be doing this again. Let me explain. All of us are having what I've come to call conversations with God all the time. This was made clear to me on page 5 of the over 3,000 pages of the published CWG Dialogues. So my experience was not unique, not uncommon. What was perhaps a bit unusual was that I had made a written record of my innermost encounters and then sent it to a publisher who, in fact, actually printed it and placed it in bookstores. I've come to understand and to experience that I, and all of us, have a deep and personal connection with God all the time, and that we may have an actual communication with the divine, asking for help, guidance, insight, and assistance whenever we wish. That was, in fact, the point of the book. It was placed into the world to open other people everywhere to this experience, to invite them to a new and more personal relationship with God. The feeling that I must have such a dialogue, however, that the time has come for such an interaction, signaled by a deep inner feeling welling within me that cannot be ignored, is something else altogether. I experience this as a feeling that comes over me, and I haven't had that feeling for nearly 10 years. So I've held the idea that I had encountered it for the last time. Oh, I knew I'd be writing again. I'll always be writing something, a column for Huffington Post, a blog for CWG Connect, a Facebook entry, an answer to someone posting a question of Ask Neil, even a full-length book exploring in depth the messages I received.
And so we've got a caller on the line. Before I continue on, let me take a caller. Area code 706-202, Grand Rising. Thank you so much for joining us.
Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm hearing, you know, this audio book that you're playing, and I had, you know, had the opportunity to meet him when he first published his book and he came here to Atlanta, and to be able to sit and look into the eyes of this man who wrote this book and who had this conversation with the Creator was a very powerful moment in being able to feel what he was sharing with us there as he made his presentation. And even after he did his presentation, he's a very friendly person to where he would sit and talk with the people, you know, in conversation, and even the part where he discussed about when he was homeless and the brothers that he interacted with and how he had this friendship with those ones that were homeless just as himself. And so it was a very powerful thing that, you know, reading the book, hearing the audio, but actually talking with the man is what I'm sharing. And it was a very enlightening to be able to hear this person that the Creator chose to come through and to put all of this into this book form and give us this information it was an experience to have. And I thank you for putting this out there again, because it's time again, because this shifting, this reawakening of the human being and being able to understand that the Creator will speak, because, you know, we have this internet, but thought is faster than the internet.
Yes, it is. Thought is faster than the internet. And I know we've got to wind down and get ready to go, but one thing, well, one of our previous callers said, in terms of connecting people, of course, as a Muslim, he sees it as connecting people to Islam, but truly what we want to connect people to is to God, to reconnect them, to reconnect their awareness of the Creator so that they become conscious expressions of the Creator, which is only love, not fear, not hate, not vengeance. And so much of what we've been taught does not bring us closer to God. It just brings us more confusion and teaching us to despise each other. So I agree that, you know, this is what has to happen, but it can only happen. You can't lead someone to somewhere you don't know how to get to yourself.
And it's an inside job, because what we have to understand is all of us humans on this earth, a heart, and it's all in that one word, earth. You have the heart, and you have to hear with the ear of the heart and learn the art of living, and that's what he was able to do, to go into his heart and to hear this conversation with the ear of the heart, because the heart is the seat of the will, and the will is thy will to be done, is what we're looking at.
Absolutely.
And how to do it, because we're distracted. The heart knows before the brain. The brain just grew the body. The heart is the seat of the will.
Absolutely. And I'm going to share a few remarks from our Facebook page. And Zelda says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen teacher. Thank you so much. And Grand Rising to you, beautiful queen teacher. Says, listening to this conversation from a queen goddess. Thanks for the awakening. Yes. And I urge people to go on YouTube and type in Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. It's N-E-A-L-E, Donald, D-O-N-A-L-D, Walsh, W-A-L-S-C-H. I mean, you can buy the book, but you can listen to it right on YouTube if you want to listen to the audio. And Deborah says, I just saw TMAC production company Family Secret stage play. It focused on family dysfunction. It tours again, and we'll share. Yeah, absolutely, yes, I've heard of that. And Douglas says, wow, numbers always remind us of something. Thanks for sharing. Yes, he was having these conversations on the exact time of his birth. So, and she says, great reminder for me to continue my audiobook, Inspirational Conversations, heard in Troy Tyler's show in Gospel Radio 1390 back in the day. Great show. Thank you. And Zelda says, check out Inspirational Conversations on YouTube, entitled Turn Left or Right. Enjoy. Yes, we will. And Beata says, Neil defines God as pure love energy without judgment, condemnation, punishment, or manipulation. And that is what the energy of God is. So it's these principles that we will introduce in our Parenting with Peace class. Because when we can teach our children using love, not fear, judgment, condemnation, punishment, or manipulation, then they can become the manifestation of the energy of God on earth. So, Brother Kareem, I know we've got to go. Thank you so much. Last words, I guess we got about a moment before we go. And we will certainly continue this dialogue next week. Yes.
Yes, let us be people of faith. That's my closing statement, people of faith.
Absolutely. Let us be. Well, thank you so much for all of you joining us. Come back tomorrow for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, and we will continue our sharing of this information next week.
For everyone, present, faith.
end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.